Wenn wir reden von Srimad Bhagavatam, returning to the ninth canto, and we will read from the 23rd chapter, the dynasties of the sons of Jayati, and we will start reading from verse 22, and we will read up to chapter 24, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the last chapter of the ninth canto, until text 34. So I will only read the English translation until we come to the verse on the board, which is the last verse that... So the first is text 22. The son of Hayaya was Dharma, and the son of Dharma was Netra, the father of Kunti. From Kunti came a son named Soaji. From Soaji came Maishman, and from Maishman Bhadrasenaka. The sons of Bhadrasena were known as Durmada and Danaka. Danaka was the father of Kritavirya and also of Kritagni, Kritavarma, and Kritauja. The son of Kritavirya was Arjun. He, Kartavirya Arjun, became the emperor of the entire world, consisting of seven islands, and received mystic power from Dattatreya, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he obtained the mystic perfections known as Astasiddhi. No other king in this world could equal Kartavirya Arjun in sacrifices, charity, austerity, mystic power, education, strength, and mercy. For 85,000 years, Kartavirya Arjun continuously enjoyed material opulences with full bodily strength and unimpaired memory. In other words, he enjoyed inexhaustible material opulence with his six senses. Of the 1,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjun, only 5 remained alive after the fight with Parashuram. Their names were Jayadvacha, Surasen, Vrishabha, Madhu, Uchita. Jayadvacha had a son named Talajanga, who had 100 sons. All the Kshatriyas in that dynasty, known as Talajanga, were annihilated by the great power received by Maharaj Sagar from Aura Rishi. Of the sons of Talajanga, Vitihotra was the eldest. The son of Vitihotra, named Madhu, had a celebrated son named Vrishni. Madhu had 100 sons, of whom Vrishni was the eldest. The dynasties known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni had their origin from the Yadu, Madhu, and Vrishni. O Maharaj predicted, because Yadu, Madhu, and Vrishni each inaugurated a dynasty, their dynasties are known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni. The son of Yadu, named Kosta, had a son named Vrichinavan. The son of Vrichinavan was Svahita. The son of Svahita, Visakhtu. The son of Visakhtu, Chitrarat. And the son of Chitrarat, Sarsabindu. The great fortunate Sarsabindu, who was a great mystic, possessed 14 opulences and was the owner of 14 great jewels. Thus, he became the emperor of the world. Small purport. In the Markandeya Puran, the 14 kinds of great jewels are described as follows. 1. An elephant. 2. A horse. 3. A chariot. 4. A wife. 5. Arrows. 6. A reservoir of wealth. 7. A garland. 8. Valuable costumes. 9. Trees. 10. A spear. 11. A nose. 12. Jewels. 13. An umbrella. And 14. Regulative principles. To be the emperor, one must possess all 14 of these opulences. Sarsabindu possessed them all. The famous Sarsabindu had 10,000 wives, and by each he begot a lakh of sons. Therefore, the number of his sons was 10,000 lakhs. Among these many sons, 6 were the foremost, such as Prithusrava and Prithukirti. The son of Prithusrava was known as Dharma, and his son was known as Ushana. Ushana was a performer of 100 horse sacrifices. The son of Ushan was Rutshaka, with 5 sons, Purjit, Rukma, Rukmesu, Prithu, and Jamakhma. Please bear of these sons for me. Jamakhna had no sons because he was fearful of his wife, Sabya. He could not accept another wife. Jamakhna once took from the house of some royal enemy a girl who was a prostitute. But upon seeing her, Sabya was very angry and said to her husband, "My husband, you cheater, who is this girl sitting upon my seat on the chariot?" Jamakhna then replied, "This girl will be your daughter-in-law." Upon hearing these joking words, Sabya smilingly replied, Sabya said, "I'm sterile and have no co-wife. How can this girl be my daughter-in-law? Please tell me." Jamakhna replied, "My dear queen, I shall see that you indeed have a son and that this girl will be your daughter-in-law." Long, long ago, Jamakhna had satisfied the demigods and pitas by worshipping them. Now by their mercy, Jamakhna's words came true. Although Sabya was barren, by the grace of the demigod, she became pregnant and in due course of time gave birth to a child named Vidarbha. Before the child's birth, the girl has been accepted as a daughter-in-law, and therefore Vidarbha actually married her when he grew up. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 9th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasties of the Sons of Jayati. Now we will start chapter 24. It's entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sukadev Goswami said, "By the womb of the girl brought by his father, Vidarbha got 3 sons named Kusha, Krata, and Romapat. Romapat was a favorite in the dynasty of Vidarbha. The son of Romapat was Babru, from whom there came a son named Kriti. The son of Kriti was Ushika, and the son of Ushika was Shedi. From Shedi was born the king known as Sedya and others. The son of Kata was Kunti, the son of Kunti Vrishni, the son of Vrishni Nivriti, and the son of Nivriti Dasara. From Dasara came Vyoma, from Vyoma came Chimuta, from Chimuta Vikriti, from Vikriti Bhimarat, from Bhimarat Navarat, and from Navarat Dasarat. And from this rat came a son, Sakuni. And from Sakuni, a son named Karambi. The son of Karambi was Devarat, and his son was Devakshatra. The son of Devakshatra was Madhu, and his son was Krusva, and from there came a son named Anu. The son of Anu was Purohotra. The son of Purohotra was Ayu, and the son of Ayu was Satvata. O great Aryan king, Satvata had 7 sons named Bajaman, Baji, Divya, Vrishni, Devavrita, Andaka, and Mahabhoja. From Bajaman, by one wife, came 3 sons, Nimlochi, Ninkarna, and Drishti. And from his other wife came 3 other sons, Satajit, Sasrajit, and Ajutajit. The sons of Devavrita was The son of Devavrita was Babru. Concerning Devavrita and Babru, there are 2 famous songs of prayer which were sung by our predecessors and which we have heard from a distance. Even now, I hear the same prayers, although their qualities, because that was heard before, is still sung continuously. It has been decided that among human beings, Babru is the best, and that Devavrita is equal to the demigods. Because of the association of Babru and Devavrita, all of their descendants, numbering 14,065, achieved liberation in the dynasty of King Mahabhoja, who was exceedingly religious. There appeared the Bhoja kings. O king, Maharaj Parikshit, who can suppress your enemies, the sons of Vrishni were Sumitra and Yudhajit. From Yudhajit came Sini and Anamitra, and from Anamitra came a son named Nichna. The 2 sons of Nichna were Satrajit and Prasena. Another son of Anamitra was another Sini. And his son was Satyaka. The son of Satyaka was Yuyudan, whose son was Jai. From Jai came a son named Kuni, and from Kuni a son named Yugadhar. Another son of Anamitra was Vrishni. From Vrishni came the sons named Svapalaka and Sitrarat. From Svapalaka, by his wife Gandini, came Akrur. Akrur was the eldest, but there were 12 other sons, all of whom were most celebrated. The names of these 12 were Asanga, Saharameya, Midura, Mitravit, Kiri, Dharmavriti, Sukarma, Kshetropeksa, Animardana, Satrughna, Gandamat, and Pratibahu. These brothers also had a sister named Sutajar. From Akrura came 2 sons named Devavan and Upadeva. Sitrarat had many sons headed by Pritu and Vidurat, all of whom were known as belonging to the dynasty of Vishnu. Kukura, Bajaman, Suchi, and Kambalarbisa were the 4 sons of Andaka. The son of Kukura was Fani, and his son was Viloma. The son of Viloma was Kapotaroma, and his son was Anu, whose friend was Tumburu. From Anu came Andaka, from Andaka Dundubi, and from Dundubi Avijota, and from Avijota came a son named Purnavasu. Purnavasu had a son and a daughter named Ahuka and Ahuki, respectively, and named Ahuka and Ahuki respectively. And Auka had two sons named Devaka and Ugrasen. Devaka had four sons named Devavan, Upadeva, Sudeva, and Devavardhana. And he also had seven daughters named Santidev, Upadev, Shridev, Devarakshita, Sahadev, Devaki, and Dhritadeva. Dhritadeva was the eldest. Vasudev, the father of Krishna, married all these sisters. Kamsa, Sunam, Niroda, Kanka, Sanku, Suhu, Rastapal, Drishti, and Tistuman were the sons of Ugrasena. Kamsavati, Kanka, Surabhu, and Rastrapalika were the daughters of Ugrasena. They became the wives of Vasudev's younger brothers. The son of Sitrarat was Vidurat, the son of Vidurat was Sura, and his son was Bajaman. The son of Bajaman was Sini, the son of Sini was Boja, and the son of Boja was Ridika. The three sons of Ridika were Devamita, Satadanu, and Kritavarma. The son of Devamita was Sura, whose wife was named Marisha. Through Marisha, King Sura begot Vasudev, Devabhag, Devarava, Anaka, Shrinjaya, Shyamaka, Kanka, Samika, Vartsaka, and Vrika. These ten sons were spotlessly pious personalities. When Vasudev was born, the demigods from the heavenly planet sounded kettle drums. Therefore, Vasudev who provided the proper place for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of God, that Krishna was known as Ananda Dundubi. The five daughters of King Sura, named Prita, Shrutadev, Shrutakirti, Shrutasrava, Rajadi Devi, were Vasudev's sisters. Sura gave Prita to his friend Kunti, who had no issue, and therefore another name of Prita was Kunti. So once, when Durvas was a guest at the house of Prita's father, Kunti, Prita satisfied Durvas by rendering service. Therefore, she received a mystic power by which she could call any demigod. To examine the potency of this mystic power, the pious Kunti immediately called for the sun god. As soon as Kunti called for the demigod of the sun, he immediately appeared before her, and she was very much surprised. She told the sun god, "I am simply examining the effectiveness of the mystic power. I am sorry, I have called you unnecessarily. Please return and excuse me." Now we have text 34, which is on the board. We will read the Sanskrit translation. The sun god said, "O beautiful Pitta, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore, let me place my seat in your womb so that you can bear a son. I shall arrange to keep your virginity intact, since you are still an unmarried girl." Purport. According to Vedic civilization, if a girl gives birth to a child before she is married, no one will marry her. Therefore, although the sun god, after appearing before Prita, wanted to give her a child, Prita hesitated, because she was still unmarried. To keep her virginity undisturbed, the sun god arranged to give her a child that came from her ear, and therefore the child was known as Karna. The custom is that a girl should be married akshata joni, that is, with our virginity undisturbed. A girl should never be a child before our marriage. Amoham deva sundarsam adade tvaichatmajam chunyatana duscheta kartaham te sumatshami. Sun God said, O beautiful Pritha, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore let me place my seat in your womb, so that you can bear a son. I shall arrange to keep your virginity intact, since you are still an unmarried girl. Om Mariana Timrandasya Chanchana Shanaka Shakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svam Rupakadam Yam Dadati Svapanandikam Pandiyam Shiru Shiyuda Padakamalam Shirum Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Jagjatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanasaitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shahe Krishna Karuna Sinudina Bando Chiratpate Gopesha Kopka Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kansna Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamama Haripri Vankha Kalapta Vyasa Kripa Sindhve Visha Patanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Nama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Chi Advaita Radhada Shiva Sadhi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Charasamiti Namini. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namini. Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi. Paska Chai Desatarane. Srila Prabhupada ki. I never gave a clause on so many verses. But I must say that it's amazing that Sukadev Goswami just remembers all these names. That there's no Bhagavatam to read, it's just straight from the memory. How many names do you remember from the dynasties that I mentioned? A few, maybe. But he knows them all and knows their history. That's so amazing. It shows also all these names out there that the Bhagavatam is about history. It's not just fictions. It's all the dynasties are described and all the stories are there. So it establishes the authority of the Bhagavatam, and now Krishna is going to appear in the Soma dynasty, yeah, the Yadu dynasty, the Vrishnis. So here we have Queen Kunti, and we hear about the history of Karna. Yesterday we have, and the day before we have the Mahabharata play, and just that part where Krishna tells Karna about his mother, reveals that his mother is Kunti. And then after that, Kunti meets Karna. And Queen Kunti says to Karna, look, you are my son. Just go to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. He will embrace you and you will become the emperor. But out of affection to Duryodhana, well, out of his friendship, that he could not agree to it. Finally, it came to the conclusion, we heard in the play, that Karna says to his mother, Kunti, that, yes, I vowed to kill Arjuna. Either Arjuna will be killed or I will be killed. But still, you will have 5 sons. So that's a terrible thing to hear for a mother. So it's sure one of our sons will be killed. That's not good news. Therefore, Queen Kunti has gone to so many troubles, and she comes to the conclusion, all these troubles is caused to my affection to my family. And when Krishna is going to leave for Dwarka, she comes to her chariot and offers her prayers. And she prays to Krishna, please take away this affection for my kinsmen. Very interesting. Of course, does it mean we cannot give affection to our family members? No. Affection should be there. It's natural. But not extreme affection. That's very dangerous. Because if we have extreme affection, we forget the real nature of the material world. You have here all these dynasties and names, one name after another. So, what's left, finally? Only a list of names. But everything is gone. So, this affection makes us forget the real nature of the material world. There is a story in the Bhagavatam of Kakutmi. King Kakutmi, he had a beautiful son, a beautiful daughter. The name of his daughter was Revati. And he wanted to search out a suitable husband for his daughter. And he decided, because he had mystic power, to consult with Brahma. And he went to Satyaloka to see Brahma. But Brahma could not immediately receive him. He was listening to a concert of the Gandharvas and the Apsaras were dancing, and it took 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, he got darshan from Lord Brahma. And he asked Brahma advice, to which king should I give my daughter, the hand of my daughter? Shirada Gokulananda ki, Sitram Lakshmananaman ki, Karunitai ki. So he asked this question to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma started to laugh. And he said, all you are here in Satyaloka 20 minutes, there's thousands of generations have passed. So all the kings you had in mind to give to your daughter in marriage, they already died. Therefore, give your daughter to Lord Brahma. And then King Kakutmi went back to his kingdom, and nothing was there, everything was gone. Could excavate the ground and then archaeology trying to find some remnants of millions of years ago. But finally, it's all a list of names. We are part of such a list of names, and within now and 200 years, nobody will know that we have ever existed, at least most of us. That when Srila Prabhupada was in France, he came before a statue of Napoleon, and he said, "France is here, but where is Napoleon?" So it's all gone. It's just names. That and Queen Kunti has experience. She understands the nature of this material world. So, I like my son, or affection for the son. It's all the like and dislike of the mind. That, but it's kind of sense-gratification. And that sense-gratification makes us forget our real nature. It covers our intelligence. Avritam jnanam etena jnana nitya varyam kamrupina kantiyam. Yeah, it's I miss a line, but dusprena nalinacham. Yeah, that this lust burns like fire, can never be satisfied, but it covers one's intelligence. That wanting to enjoy tempering things in this world, Srila Prabhupada compares to a child. A child wants to taste the laddu, wants the laddu, but it has to take a bitter medicine. And the mother said, "Yes, you can have the laddu, but first the bitter medicine." And the child goes through the sacrifice of eating the bitter medicine to taste the laddu. And that, so that's the sacrifice of most people in this world. And modern society is helping us in that sacrifice to eat a laddu. That everyone is busy with economic development, that all arrangement to give pleasure to a temporary body. That, but that's this sense gratification is, in fact, it's a punishment. Because what's your punishment? What do you get? That you get birth, death, old age, and disease. That's what you get. So it's a punishment. That people think in this world is sense gratification. That's the purpose of life. That everyone says, yes, enjoy. You live only once. That, but that's an illusion. Who says that you live only once? That's a speculation. That, so it covers their intelligence. And that, the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni, and say, tells Srila Vyasadeva, Tasheva ita prayate tako vidho nalapyate yat pramanyu pariyata talapyate dukavam anyato sukam kalina savrita kabira rammasa. See, one should seek for that happiness which is not obtainable from the lowest planet to the highest planet. And this happiness and this stress it comes on its own accord. You suffer. Someone is asking for suffering here. Do you want suffering? No, but it comes. That can we do. That unhappiness comes also. That's not what we have to strive for in our lives. That will come anyway. But what we have to, what's our goal is to get out of this. That's the happiness, to find happiness which is not from this world. That, because what's the actual reward? What do we want? We want eternal life. We want bliss, knowledge. That it's only in the kingdom of God there is no punishment. Here, enjoyment means punishment. Je is sans spasiaboga, dukayonga evate, atyant pantakantia, nate ishura mate buddha. The sages have decided that this sense for enjoyment, this enjoyment, it's a source of misery. Krishna says further in Bhagavad Gita, the result of the motive passion is misery. Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, this world is a place of misery. What are people searching for in this world? Queen Kunti prays, Shanmashvaya Sutashibir, Edamanam Adampunam, Navrata Didatam Fantvama Kinshana Gochand. That's like to be have a good birth, a good education, beauty, wealth. But attachment to these things creates madness. A madness that makes us forget our own identity. And that's a very fearful situation. It makes us attracted to false temporary things. That's the material disease. So much Brexit is hearing about all these dynasties, and it comes at the end of the ninth canto. And it becomes very eager to now to hear about Krishna. Because now he's going to hear about the appearance of Lord Krishna. And then he will express to Sukadev Goswami, please, at the beginning of the 10th canto, please tell me more about Krishna. That I want to hear more. But then, in the beginning of the 10th canto, there Sukadev Goswami responds, that's Nirvita Tarsera Bhagyamanat Bhavasnak Shodhyamano Biramat. He said, you want to hear about Krishna, but are you Nirvita Tarsera? Are you free from this lust, of this tendency to enjoy. Nirvita tarser upahiyamat pavasadak. Pavasadak means medicine. Did you take your medicine? What is that medicine? Pavasadak shotva is the medicine of hearing. Manobiarat, and filling the mind, becoming absorbed with this hearing about Krishna. So this attraction for hearing about Krishna is the cure. But before we can hear about Krishna, and we have to know who Krishna is. And that's the reason of this first 9 cantos before explains who Krishna is and what our relationship is with Krishna. So one has to go systematically to the first 9 cantos to come to the point of being able to perceive Krishna. Because that will bring us above all miseries. And Queen Kunti has suffered a lot. Therefore she prays to Krishna, please take away this affection for my kinsman. Like a few years ago I was in Spain and a senior devotee there. She told me that she lost her child. That's a very heavy experience for a parent when the child dies before they are going, it's very painful. And what she did after she went through the experience, she was in a state of depression. But she started to hear constantly Srila Prabhupada lectures, practically 24 hours a day. Everywhere where she was, she would hear. And after 2-3 days, she came completely out of the depression. So this is a cure, this hearing, and that will make us aware of the temporary condition in this material world. We don't have to attach ourselves to anything in this world. That attachment is just the cause of misery and illusion. There's no need to make elaborate plans to get enjoyment for the body. It's all in vain. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, one who does not engage in the cycle of sacrifice, he just lives in vain for nothing. You do all these things, well, whatever you want to achieve, and the result is death. But for a devotee, the result will be eternal blissful life, an experience we can already have in this life, just by come to that point to absorb ourselves in always thinking of Krishna. And what's the way to always think of Krishna? Engage one body, mind, and senses in the service of the Lord. Very practical. Tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad praya. I can't. Agashantapunarvritam. Yeah. Tad buddhyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad praya. Kyana nirtuta kalmasam. That's the last line. But it means when one uses one body, mind, intelligence in the service of the Lord, the heart becomes purified of all these attachments. And then we come out of the miserable, fearful condition of this human existence. We start to realize that we are a spirit soul. A spirit soul having a human experience. that and that that human experience is very miserable because we are identifying ourselves with the body. But to come out of that identification, we must engage in our relationship with Krishna, practical engagement. That's the only way. So thank you very much. Any question, comment? Yes. Practical engagement is engaging in activities that satisfy Krishna. And what does satisfy Krishna is if we satisfy the spiritual master. Yasya prasado, bhagavat prasado. Yeah, that's how it works. If we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, then Krishna will give us realizations within. So practical means engaging in the mission of the spiritual master. What's the mission of the spiritual master? It's the same mission as Krishna. Not Krishna's mission is yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavta bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tatatmam chichamyam. Wherever and whenever there is a decline in religious practice, at that time I descend to re-establish the principles of religion. And these principles of religion is Krishna consciousness. It means practical engagement, means assisting the spiritual master in the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Okay. Something else? Good. Yeah. Thank you very much. Shantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.